It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Let's bring James into this conversation. Hammer, before we get to Dougie McDermott, the newest member of the Sacramento Kings, has this preseason changed the way you feel about this team at all?
No, not really. I think we kind of know who this team is. Like, they're a very talented team. They're a team that is going to take a little while to sort of blend and grow together. And so for right now, I mean, they're also a team that's been missing major pieces all through the preseason, and they haven't been able to have the highest of high level competition in practice. And, you know, there's some things they need to work out here. So, I don't think it's really changed. I still think they're right around a 50 win team. Mm-hmm. That's what they feel like to me. And we're going to have to see them prove that. But the kinks are being worked out. You can slowly see it. And I thought that last night's loss was actually a pretty good loss. You know, you played against a team that has some mismatches, and I think most of the mismatches you did fine with, and the ones that you didn't do well with, you probably don't have an answer for those anyways. And so I think that they played well. They gave themselves a chance to win, and we're seeing the team kind of grow and blend together.
James, expand on that just a little bit, because I kind of felt the same way. Like, I looked at, I wouldn't classify them as playing good last night, but I thought it was just a regular game. Like, they played about average. It was just kind of whatever, right? And I was actually okay with that. Maybe I was okay with that because Sunday was so horrific that I said, all right, I just want to see you guys playing good, you know, decent basketball and giving yourselves an opportunity to win. But was there something specific that you saw out there that that made you feel that way, that it was like, it's okay?
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you see a team go out and have 105 shots compared to 71 for their opponent, first of all, the fact that you didn't win that game by 40 is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you lose a game like that. But when we look at some of the principles that the Kings are trying to push this year, number one is offensive rebounds. And when you have 20 offensive rebounds and 24 defensive rebounds, that's incredible. Number one, it means you missed a lot of shots. But number two, it means that you're doing exactly what the coaching staff is asking. We had some problems with the turnovers in the previous games. They cleaned that up. They had 11 turnovers last night. And on top of that, they forced turnovers. So, you know, Utah helped them out with 24 total turnovers, 25 total turnovers. But 16 of those were on King steals. And so sort of this gambling defense, or this defense where players are getting their hands in passing lanes and stuff, is kind of showing up. And you're like, okay, that's a good sign, because that's another thing that we kind of have a problem with this team. And then the assist numbers, we talked about this a little bit. The Kings have had assist numbers in their previous couple of games. But when you have like 32 fast break points, that means that you probably have like 15 or 16 assists on those fast breaks. Mm. So if you're having 24 assists for a game or something, that means that you're not moving the ball well at all in the half court. And that to me was like a big time, uh-oh, what does this mean? Why is it that this team is not moving the ball correctly in their half court sets? And I think that they were better. I don't think they were great, but I think as Domantas Sabonis sort of put his stamp on the game in the first quarter and Utah started to adjust, you started to see the Kings look more like the Kings. With, you know, them finding the open guy. There were still a couple of times where, man, Keegan Murray running down the right side wide open for a three-point shot in transition, and the Kings just missed him. That was a problem. And maybe two or three times they missed him. And so that was sort of like, hey, they're not fully engaged. They're not fully seeing the court the way that they will when everything is clicking. And so there are good moments, and then there are other moments where you're like, okay, this team still does need quite a bit of work, and that's why you got one more preseason game. That's why you got another week before the season starts to try to work some of the kinks out.
And I think one thing that some Kings fans are concerned about, and there are things that we've tried to talk about here today, is not just the issues that they have, but the issues that they seemingly have right now are ones that carried over from last year. They didn't shoot a high number of free throws yesterday. They wound up missing five. That was good for 70-something percent. But the way that the game went, those five missed free throws certainly feel like a big deal. But that's a theme. Mm-hmm. They've lost two games now. We don't think that Utah is a playoff team. We don't think Portland is a playoff team. They lost to those two teams. That's a continuation from last year. I don't think they struggled from three last year like they seem to be here this preseason. But they certainly struggled defending the three. Like they are so far this preseason. And I think, James, if we're talking about concerns for this team, you know, another preseason game left, that's great. Malik Monk, we're not showing everything, that's great too. But, man, these issues feel old.
I think that's the biggest concern is that, I mean, we can talk about the things that are points of emphasis for them and how they're doing well in those points of emphasis. But we can also look at the things that should be points of emphasis from last season that are – sort of rearing their ugly heads again. Again, the three-point defense has not been good. Defending without fouling has been a problem. Hitting free throws has been a problem. So I agree with you that all of these issues, and I think the biggest issue is walking into a Sunday afternoon game thinking you're going to stomp somebody because they're not as good as you. And that was a problem last year. You know, we talk all the time about Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, Portland. I mean, we shouldn't be able to name off losses from last season that stand out like that, but we can because those are the like four of the five worst teams in basketball. And the Kings, you know, won 46 games and they lost four games. Right there is 50 wins, four games to the worst teams in the league. And then you watch him walk into a game on Sunday against one of those teams who is not good, who may not be good at all this season, who won, 22 games last year? And you got stomped on your home floor. And again, it's preseason, but I think we're all triggered because this is what happened last year. You didn't show up on your home court against bad teams. You didn't defend the three. You didn't hit your free throws. We just keep stacking these ideas that have carried over. So yeah, they almost need like a cleansing, you know, like someone needs to walk around with sage or something and get some of those things out of the room because it is the same problem. And you want to see growth. And I think we are seeing growth in certain aspects of the game, but you also want to see growth in the things that the team was bad at. And we have yet to see that. Mm.
How much of, I shouldn't, what did Damien say, leading the witness? I'm not going to lead the witness. Do you think that this group is the type of group that is just waiting for the regular season to get here and not that interested in the preseason?
Yes. I mean, in all honesty, yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that De'Aaron Fox is, you know, he knows exactly who he is and what he's going to be in the regular season. And I think DeMar DeRozan feels the same way. And then I think with a player like Domas, like every time Domas steps on the floor, he wants to destroy, you know, like Hulk smash, you know. And I think when you go up against, you know, young bigs like he did in Walker Kessler, who's one of the better shot blockers in the league, to go in there and make sure that that guy knows that you're going to destroy him every time you play him is sort of Domas's mentality. He can't help but be that. But I think there are other players who are like, who struggled early in preseason or working their way through some things. Like Keegan Murray was 1-for-8 coming into yesterday's game from behind the arc. And he goes out and hits 5-of-11. That's good. And not only is the making 5 shots good, but taking 11 threes is exactly what I want to see from Keegan Murray. He can do that all season long. And there should be 11 threes in every game or 12 threes that are wide open for him that he can take. I thought a couple of them looked a little shaky early where he was moving way too much in the middle of his shooting motion, and then he cleaned it up. And so I think we are seeing like these moments where guys are getting better and showing up. But I think there are other players who are just kind of like, okay, we get it. We know what's happening. We're in practice together every day. We know exactly what we're going to run once the season starts, and we're not going to look anything like what we look like today.
And to be fair to these guys and to the process of it all, last year's preseason wasn't much different. Like they started off 0-4. They won the last game. I'm not sure if anybody really played in that final game of significance. But I remember there was a lot of concern. There was a lot of angst going into that Jazz game. And then they come out and they look like a completely different team than what we saw in the preseason in that Jazz game. Now, they end up being really up and down all year long. Right. But we were like, they're just not good enough. Like in the preseason, we were worried about that. And that wasn't really the case. They dealt with some things throughout the season that were unrelated to the issues that we saw during the preseason, I think, last year.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the issues the Kings have in the preseason this year is, again, they're missing players like the entire time. And I mean, that's part of basketball, but it's the reality that the Kings are in. And, you know, we're seeing them go out and, you know, add a player today that could help them, you know, maybe. But at worst case scenario, he'll help them like in practice, because this is a guy who, you know, emulates a lot of what Kevin Huerter does. So until Kevin Huerter is totally cleared, you're gonna have a player who kind of looks and feels like Kevin Huerter on the court, moving around and doing some of the Kevin Huerter things. And you kind of wish that would have happened a little earlier, where they would have been able to use Doug McDermott as like practice squad Kevin Huerter for them. But at the end of the day, like, I just think that this team, you know, it's going to be part of who they were this season that we're going to look at. Like, when did they get whole? How long do you guys stick on the court together and get to play together? Do they avoid injuries early in the season so this isn't just compounded? And I know I said something about, you know, Keegan Murray should be able to shoot 11 open threes per game. And I know Drew in the chat, like, yes, I threw honestly
down your
believe
nemesis.
Yeah, Drew, what's going on, Drew? I think that there are going to be so many wide open threes once the game is flowing for Keegan Murray this season. And we're already seeing it, that teams are focusing so much on Fox and Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan that they're putting little players, small players on Keegan. And yeah, he's going to be able to shoot over the top of players. He's going to be able to go to the rim. And just kind of bully his way past smaller players. So I think Keegan is going to be the beneficiary of a lot of sort of the DeMar DeRozan effect this season.
Well, as we say around these parts, James, it's over for you hoes, because the Kings have signed Dougie McBuckets. So all of this conversation just doesn't even matter, because three-point specialist Doug McDermott is now a member of the Sacramento Kings. Hammer, let's walk through this a little bit. What exactly does this mean? I stated, but we'll acknowledge it's nothing more than speculation. This isn't a Nerlens Noel situation. Like, he's a Sacramento King this year, no?
Oh, no, he's playing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he's going to play a ton of minutes or in a ton of games. But, yeah, like, this is a signing for to have a guy here. And, I'm, you know, we don't know the specifics, but I'm going to guess that it's a fully guaranteed contract at a league minimum. Maybe I'm crazy there, but I'm going to guess that that's what the case is. And so basically you're going to bring him in, you know, when you need a shooter, you've got one. If Kevin Huerter isn't ready to start the regular season, or if Trey Lyles isn't ready to start the regular season and you need someone to space the floor, like, this is a career 41% shooter. He's a walking bucket. He always has been since his days at Creighton. And to be honest with you, I like the move. I would have liked it a little while ago. I don't think it's going to move the needle on the regular season.
A little while ago, like what? Before camp or 3 years ago?
Yeah, that's what I mean, before camp. But then again, like, look, one of the tough part is you don't know who and what Jalen McDaniels is until you get him in your building and in your camp and you see what he looks like. And there was a possibility that he could have, like, shown up and been like a player, and you would have been like, all right, well, this is, you know, this is a guy we want to stick with. You want to give a guy an opportunity, especially when he makes almost $5 million a year. But this, I'd also say this looks like the move for right now. And, you know, maybe that's one of your follow-up questions you're going to ask me. But, like, if we go back to the little whiteboard that we have sitting there, right in between you guys, there is the Kings were at like $5.8 million in underneath the luxury tax. Hey, there it is. Yeah. So when they traded Jalen McDaniels $4.7 million, they moved to $5.9 million under the tax, and like $13.2 million under the apron. Mm. But when you went and you signed Doug McDermott, I'm assuming he's a league minimum player at this time. So his $3.3 million salary for this season, only 2.1 will count against the cap. So that puts the Kings back to like $3.8 million under the luxury tax, which means they have enough to sign another player if they want for another league minimum deal. They also have, you know, again, roughly $11 million underneath the first apron. And if they're under $11 million under the first apron, that means that, you know, they can use a good portion of the MLE to go out and either sign or trade for a player into that money. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that happened with this move that, you know, again, I think it's a budget move. But it fits kind of what their need was today, especially with how clunky their offensive looked and how poorly they've shot the ball from three.
I love it. And not that I think he's going to, you know, do wonders. I don't know. He may never even really get off the bench, but I like the potential fit, and I like them looking at a guy like that and taking a shot on him. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is a guy who, you know, has a specific skill set that right now it looks like we're struggling with, you know, with Huerter out and Lyles out, and who knows how long those guys are going to be out. We need some guys to stretch the floor. There may be a couple other things they need as well, but you know, if he was relatively on the cheap, you're going to pick him up, see what he's got, see if he can help you out, see if you can steal some minutes with McDermott.
Yeah, and let's not forget that this is a guy that, you know, played with Domantas Sabonis in both OKC and Indiana. Like, he knows his game really well. He knows exactly how to come off like a Domantas Sabonis DHO. I think that in itself is, there's a lot of good that he can bring to the table. And even if it's like small amounts of game time, but also giving you a player that can emulate what Kevin Huerter is doing, or, you know, now you have two of them that are running around doing that, you know, sort of the motion offense that this Kings team likes to do. Mm-hmm. Just another high basketball IQ player that I think will fit in. It's just, again, he's probably like the 12th man on the bench at this point.
Hammer, have you had the opportunity to tell Mike that Kevin Herter is available to play basketball?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, you didn't tell him? He doesn't know.
Has anybody told Mike that Kevin Herter is available to play basketball?
I think it's possible that Mike saw a guy out there and didn't realize it was Kevin because he didn't have his headband on.
He did see him, but he just really wasn't. He's like, I don't know. I think he played one-on-one with the coaches. I don't know.
Not my problem. James, why does Mike hate Kevin?
You guys always ask the tough questions. No, I think that, Mike's got to be hoping that they can get him back on the court. I don't think he'll be ready for Thursday.
Why not?
I just don't think that there's enough time. I mean, he had
Jordan McLaughlin played 5-on-5.
Yeah, but Jordan had rolled his ankle a week before camp, but had played all summer. Kevin hasn't run into somebody for 7 months. And so, like, the worry is, like, how does he react to getting hit?
Well, go run into somebody then.
Shouldn't we figure it out before the season starts? Like,
Hey, Mason, stand right there. Kevin Herter's going to run straight into you.
Got it, coach.
we'll start with chest bumps. You guys run out and do the pregame chest bump thing. You know, then we'll do the sideways shoulder bump, but not with your surgically repaired shoulder.
Isaac, go tackle Kevin. Just go tackle him.
Everybody get one of the big battering pads. And
whatever.
Go hit Kevin.
Yeah.
Make Kevin go through like a gauntlet line.
He'll be fine. Without his little headband, he'll be fine.
this is like, we're being facetious a little bit, but this is funny. So the Niners got a two-point. It's legit been shot. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah, true that.
Well,
thanks,
no,
Jordan,
it's,
me.
No,
yeah, good
it's
call.
It's not Kevin. It's more like, hey, this guy got shot. Kyle's like, go play football. This guy hurt his shoulder, and Mike's like, I don't know. Whenever he's cleared to play, they'll tell me. Mike, they told us 3 days ago. Hi, I'm Sean Cunningham. Why do I know that he's available to play and you don't?
Mike was sitting there like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. In his head, he was like, who the hell is Kevin Herter again?
Truthfully, I thought he'd be traded by now. That bum's still doing here.
Mike, he's still here.
I hate to, there is a huge difference between basketball players and football players. And, you know.
Oh, that's a shot. I take that as a shot.
No, he got shot. He got shot.
No pun intended.
Playing high school football, like, we were in the weight room every single day, except for Saturday and Sunday. But we, and then running and all that stuff. And then you see the basketball players, they're like, what is a weight room? Do we have a weight room here?
Yeah, I try to avoid
it. It's like,
come on, Kenny.
I was 15. I didn't want to lift weights.
See?
Just wanted to hoop.
Yeah. Weights at 15. Well, hoopers. Yeah, hoopers don't.
Just wanted to hoop.
That's why they all look like Chris Webber. And Chris Webber's an elite athlete. That's what he looks like?
That's why every time they come back for training camp, it's noticeable, like, 10 pounds of muscle. Because we ain't looked at it.
And they only worked out 2 weeks.
Like, I've told you, I've walked into the A's clubhouse, and you're like every dude there is yoked. Every dude there looks like the big dude at your gym. You're like, what is happening here?
Well,
and yeah, baseball's, I'm just saying.
Baseball a little different.
Well, yeah, they got different ways of going about things.
Different ways of going about things.
I used to hate playing against football players, though. They were stronger than me in high school. Like, I try to attack the basket, and they just give me a little nudge. I go flying. I'm a little scrawny high schooler playing up against this yoked out running back.
How long do you think Mike Brown yelled at Keegan Murray today for passing up that open three at the end of the game?
I was upset.
Man, that was a tough one to watch. I hope he yelled at him. I hope that it wasn't just him. I hope that every player on the team yelled at him, and in a loving way. Because, like, look, he was one guy. He's the one guy who's hitting 3-point shots. Unless Boogie Ellis was standing there. Then this is the guy. He's the guy who needs to have that shot right there. down three with no time left on the clock. I just, it's one of those moments where it's almost like he didn't know the situation because if he did, he should have shot. I mean, he was so wide open. Mm-hmm. And again, he was 5 of 11 from three on the game. That was the shot you needed. That was a moment you needed. And then, like, first of all, God bless Utah for like putting the stream up so Gary Gerald could call the game. But like, can you not run a replay of the Jazz scoring on the Kings every single play? So we don't even get to see what's happening with the Kings.
Bro, we're watching. So upset.
We missed Keegan's three. Like, we missed Malik get blocked. Yeah, we.
I was so upset. And I'll say this for Thursday. I found, I don't know what happened, but I have League Pass. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Through YouTube. And I was able to watch the Jazz broadcast, TV broadcast of that game. So,
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be saying anything.
Yeah,
maybe
ruined it. We screw it up for everybody.
But yeah, I was able to do that. So you might be able to do that on Thursday.
Oh, well, I don't know. Whatever was happening was dreadful. And it was like
instant replay.
Okay, it was six seconds of replay and then a second and a half of the replay logo. And you're like, no, not again. Gary Gerald's still talking. You're like, come on, Gary, paint the picture because we ain't seeing it.
Yep.
It's not.
And the best part, obviously, is the Jazz broadcast. So it's only the Jazz highlights. So they didn't replay De'Aaron's 55-foot shot.
No,
they just went to commercial.
No
reason to see that again.
No, it's fine.
Instant replay.
It's the replay.
And then playing the same bumper music every commercial break.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so tough.
You know what? Like, I started to feel like listening to the music while it was on commercial, it felt like a strobe light, but in audio form. It was, like, so obnoxious and, like, boom, 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 boom. Like, my wife was in the other room, like, hey, why do they keep playing that music? And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm going to have a seizure at any moment. I don't know what's happening. It was not good. It was not good.
No, it most definitely wasn't. We'll come back with more from James Hamm. James, you said it. We're asking the tough questions today. We're going to bring you into the Keon Ellis conversation that we were having. Actually, I think you brought this up a little bit in your six quick thoughts last night. So we'll have a conversation about Keon Ellis and what may be expected of him moving forward as we continue talking about the Sacramento Kings, who signed Doug McDermott today. And they'll be headed into their fifth and final preseason game tomorrow night in Los Angeles against the Clippers. More ahead here with our insider from the Insiders, James Hamm with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. That's the XFL cam.
Are the wires at the top of the stadium?
Yeah.
So every stadium has it.
I believe so.
It
might not be the top of the stadium. It might be something on the stanchions.
Well, I was looking for stanchions.
There's nothing there?
I couldn't see it. Granted, I didn't wear my glasses that day.
Well,
so maybe that has something to do with it. But I couldn't see it. And then it was always like...
Were you talking about it? Levi's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it's the same now, but for a long time, like Fox was like the only one with that camera, weren't they?
I don't think
Fox,
so.
Fox, CBS, NBC, I don't think they all have that camera. Maybe they do now, but for a long time they didn't. So I was like,
I thought everyone had it.
Do they set it up before? So I thought maybe, like you said, there's a stanchion in one.
Well, did you research this?
No, I was just looking for it. You guys got all the answers. I thought you might know.
Wasn't there a game where a quarterback threw a ball too high and it hit it?
It hit it, yeah. Wire? Yeah.
That's the other thing. It feels like it's obviously that's the camera, but it feels like it's really close to the field and it should be hit all the time, and it never really happens. I don't know. I'm baffled. I mean, I guess usually they're behind the offense, so that's one.
Well, the story has no payoff because Kenny didn't do any research, so we don't know. All I know is
a YouTube video.
All I know is that camera was birthed from the XFL, the original XFL from 2001 or whatever it was. James mentioned it during the commercial break. We'll mention it here on the show. Socktober is in full effect. We need your socks. Socks are something that is greatly looked over when it comes to the unhoused community. So every October, we turn into Socktober and we collect socks, and you can bring them right here to the Odyssey Studios at 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. We'll be taking your donations all month long. Bring them to us and we will get them into the right hands. We appreciate everyone's help with that in advance. Again, 3010 Lava Ridge Circle here, Suite 220. You can drop off socks that will get into the right hands.
Shout out to all the jackasses in the chat. Like, it's on wires. Like, yes, I know it's on wires. Where are the wires connected to is what I'm asking. I thought the camera was suspended in air. I thought it was a drone. No, thanks, guys. Thank you.
You can join the chat on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter and be called a jackass as well by KC. That's youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Join the jackasses here in the chat, as KC says. James Hamm back here with us as the Kings head into their final preseason game tomorrow against the Los Angeles Clippers in Los Angeles. And Kings signed Doug McDermott today. They lose to the Utah Jazz last night. We've tried to outline the problems. We saw Domas have a spectacular start to the game, like 7 of 8 after 1, 16 of the Kings, 20-something-some-odd points. And then he kind of morphs into Angel Reese and misses just shot after shot after shot after basket. Gets his own rebound, puts it back, misses. Gets another rebound, misses, puts it back. And, KC started this whole conversation, Hammer, by asking, does it feel like maybe the Kings are just kind of over the preseason? You know, there was one guy who I can say definitively was working his ass off last night, and that's Domantas Sabonis. Like, Domas was working extremely hard last night.
Yeah, I mean, there's no chill in DeMarcus and Domantas. Like, you know what I mean? He can't go out there and play halfway. He just can't. And I think that that's like, it's an admirable trait that, you know, there's no way, like if you play board games and stuff, if you're not trying to win, people get frustrated with me because I'm always trying to win. Why are you trying to win? Like, why would I play a game if I wasn't trying to win? And I think that's kind of like the mentality of Domantas Sabonis. He's going to go out there and put his stamp on every single game that he plays in. And like, look, he did turn into Moses Malone there for a little while where he just kept getting his own offensive rebounds. But like he finished with 17 rebounds, 11 of them were offensive and probably 5 of them were off his own misses. I'm okay with that because he just kept working. And I think every single time he came away with a bucket. In those situations, there were the other, like late in the game, he started getting stripped a little bit, trying to go to the basket. They were sending like a smaller guy at him, but still, like, I thought he played his game and looked like he's in mid-season form. And that's what you're hoping, is that each player starts to take the step up and say, okay, I'm ready for the regular season. Mm-hmm. And Domantas has done it. I think, you know, Keegan Murray took a big step towards that. But now you need a couple more guys to say, yeah, I'm ready. Checking in for regular season duty. And hopefully we get a few more of those against the Clippers on Thursday.
Earlier, we talked about how in NFL preseason / training camp, you'll see, Brock Purdy threw 5 interceptions today in training camp. And the reason for that a lot of the times is these guys are trying things out, right? Like they're trying to see the limits that they can push in the offense, or what I can, if I can fit it into this window, or what it might look like if I throw this ball in this route, whatever. They're trying things, right? And you get into the season and they've got an idea of what they can do, what their receivers can and can't do, and interception totals, aren't the same, right? Do you see that from the Kings in this preseason, them kind of trying things, whether it's Domas? I know they want him to shoot, more jump shots, but in a typical situation where he'd get the ball 17, 18 feet away, rip through, go to the basket with the left. He's like, no, let me work on this 18-foot jump shot real quick. And whether it goes in or not is not the point. He just wants to get comfortable with it. Fox, I know he shot more 3-pointers last year, but, is he trying to work on his catch-and-shoot threes and be more comfortable with that? Do you see those guys working on stuff in this preseason?
Yeah, I think it's, for the most part, it's when things don't work that it kind of catches your eye. Mm. So, like, I've watched Domas in the 2-man game rolling to the basket, and I don't think DeMar DeRozan, he's perfectly fine throwing Domas a pass in practice when there's no one defending it, when they're working on their 2-man game. When you get in game situations and there are people everywhere, I think you have to, it takes a little bit of faith in Sabonis. That when you drop that pass down to him, that he's going to get it and then roll to the basket and do whatever he's going to do. And I don't think that's 100% there with him right now. I also think, like, just overall, I think, the Kings offense hasn't worked well enough where I feel like a guy like Keon Ellis is getting, what should be wide open looks. He's not getting those yet, because your offense isn't working well enough yet. And so we're watching sort of a clunky looking Kings in the half court. And there's going to come a point where, Keon is able to get 5 or 6 shots without even trying, just because he's wide open and he's got to take the shot. And so we're just starting to see the evolution of the offense and what it will look like down the road. But again, having one guy step up like Domas and really put a stamp on something is something that, like, the other guys need to look at and go, okay, I need to have that signature game so I'm ready for the regular season. And once you get that one game, you're probably ready to go.
So let's stay with the offense, because Kenny and I had a pretty extensive conversation. In fact, all of us were having an extended conversation regarding Keon and how Keon plays into all of this with Kevin Herter's availability picking up. And is there a scenario, James, and we've gone over this, we've gone over not shot selection, but shot attempts, shot distribution. We've gone over all of this, like, over and over and over and over again. And you brought this up, Hammer, on your 6 quick thoughts about Keon Ellis. And, like, at some point, you got to keep the defense honest a little bit. Has anything that we've seen in these four games swayed you on what you think should happen at that starting two position? Or at least caused you to think?
No. I mean, maybe caused me to think. Like, Herter is going to keep moving and moving and moving to different spots, but he's just a different style of player. And I definitely feel like, you know, Keon has showed us some passing skills that maybe we didn't know that he had. He's made some nice plays with Domas in a two-man game. But at the end of the day, like, if he's going to be out there, the Kings have to space the floor properly and make sure he's in a spot where he can take his open shot. And I've seen too many times where, you know, like the guy in the corner, somebody slides too close to him. So then you have two guys within, like, you know, an arm's reach of each other, which isn't good. And so that's not the proper spacing in that situation. And overall, just the offense feels like it hasn't, you know, broken loose yet. And like, if Keon's going to stay on the court, he needs to hit, you know, two, three pointers a game. He needs to keep defenses honest. And, you know, it's one thing about playing defense, which, you know, we all expect him to do, but he has to be viable on the offensive end. And I think he is extremely viable. I just don't think that, like, all the cogs in the wheel are working right now, that this thing is not a well-oiled machine. And the guys that end up paying in that situation is Keon first. The second guy who's going to pay is Keegan Murray. And then, you know, the other three guys, they might get numbers, but those numbers might not equate to wins. And so you need everybody to be working together to free up those extra spots. But as of right now, it just feels like, you know, the timing is just off on everything.
I had the first thought of that this last night watching that game, because I'm all for Keon starting. I think it makes sense. In theory, it makes sense with him, you know, just kind of being the defensive guy and the guy that doesn't need to shoot. But last night, for the first time, I was like, man, maybe Kevin probably should. You should think about it. I wasn't there yet. I'm not there. I'm still riding with the Keon thing, you know, him starting at least for a few games into the regular season. But I thought about it for the first time last night, because just, you know, another game shooting under 20%, or excuse me, under 30% from beyond the arc. I think Keon Ellis can shoot. I think he's a good three-point shooter. But Kevin's a different type of three-point shooter. And I wonder sometimes if that's what they need. But, you know, I'm not there yet, Hammer. I'm still on Team Keon starting. But I can't lie, I thought about it for the first time last night.
No, I mean, I'm with you. And again, when you see Doug McDermott doing the same exact things, if Kevin's not able to go, maybe McDermott is for a few minutes on Thursday. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it's going to be one of those things that stands out. And Keon has to find a way to help with the spacing. But again, he's so dependent on other people, because he will not be asked to create for himself and others very often. And so that's really tough, right? So it's like, if you're a pick and roll guy, but every single time you roll to the basket, the guy pulls up and shoots his own shot, you know, or he falls away or he passes it to someone else. It's like, you know, I'd like to tell you I could average 15 points a game as the roll guy, but if you don't throw it to me, there's nothing I can do. And so I think Keon is just, and it's the function of who he is on this team, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, like, there's going to come a point where he has to show that when he does need to hit a shot, that he can. And that, you know, I think it's affecting him a little bit on the defensive end as well, because he keeps getting in foul trouble. And I know he's playing physical like they did last year and didn't get a lot of those foul calls. But, you know, that's going to be the number one way he stays on the court, is on the defensive end. But you can only say that for so long. He needs to actually be functional on the offensive end. And I think he's totally capable, and I think the Kings do too.
How much do you think Malik's kind of lack of an off season is playing into some of his early preseason struggles a little bit? I shouldn't say early preseason, his preseason struggles a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of it. Like, he talked about being tired on Sunday or on Monday, right? Like, it's very possible that his legs aren't there, that he's going through, I mean, whatever he has going on off the court, that's his own thing. But on the court, you know, there comes a point during a regular season where, you know, you have a stretch of games where you might play, you know, the old five games in seven nights, or, you know, like a whole group of games where it starts to accumulate and you add travel, and you see players get sort of dead legs. They hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that Malik's body's just hit a wall a little bit. He'll be fine. I don't have any questions about what Malik Monk will look like on opening night. Like, will he shoot, you know, 45% from three? Probably not, but let's be honest, he's never hit that. That's not who he is. But will he look more like himself? And I think the answer is yes. It's just, again, you need pieces around him. Like, as a scorer is one thing, but for Malik to be sort of to capitalize on who Malik is as a player, you do need like a role man that can play with him. And I know Domas and him have really strong chemistry, but there is no lob guy to play with him. I almost wonder if the Kings can't figure out a way to start a two-man game between Keegan and Malik, as, you know, when you bring Malik in, leave Keegan on the floor and have them work a two-man game, because I do think that at this point, Keegan Murray might be the best lob guy that the Kings have outside of probably Malik. And so there's just a little bit, you know, again, his game looks a little clunky. He looks a little tired, a little worn out, as to be expected.
Keegan, put those little guards in the basket next time. don't have, what's my man's name? Sexton blocking your shot.
Mm.
Want to put those little guards in the basket next time. Come on, baby. You got blocked twice on dunk attempts last night.
Hang on that note, I want to point out too, like, have you guys watched Keon Ellis on the breakaway? He's not finishing with any lift at all. Mm. Like, so I do think that there is something to, you know, this team hitting a little bit of a wall. It just is what it is. But I think they'll have plenty of time to recover. But Keon has had like probably five breakaways, and every one of them he goes to explode, and it's more of just like a two-handed drop it in, because he doesn't look like he has the lift right now either.
Well, it's time for these guys to start taking steroids. Take some greenies. That's what you got to do.
This is a true Barry Bonds fan right there.
Oh, yeah. The disrespect for the greatest player to ever play. Don't do that. James.
And he out here advocating drug use. Unbelievable.
Hey, whatever it takes to get to the playoffs. Whatever it takes to get top six. I'm desperate. Need to get it done. What do you think we see on Thursday, like as far as playing time, rotations, all this other stuff?
I would like to tell you that Mike is going to like let a bunch of young guys have an opportunity to play a bunch of minutes. But I kind of feel like he's looking at this team the same way the rest of us are.
Mm.
Like, you guys aren't ready yet. And we got a week. You got a week to recover. Let's go ahead and play 35 minutes. You know, that's short as a kind of looks what they need is, you know, we saw a huge improvement.
James, I do not really? Think that I do not think they don't look like they want to play at all.
I don't know. I think from Sunday to Tuesday, we saw a huge improvement just in the overall play. I think I want to see if that carries over and we see more improvement on Thursday.
Yeah. Next Thursday.
Yeah, a week from Thursday.
Yeah. Let's see how you improve against Ant-Man and Rudy and Julius rather than Terrence Mann. and the wall at the Intuit Dome.
Oh, did you see the wall? No, so I saw some pictures of the wall real quick. And on the Intuit Dome Instagram, they have like a picture where you can see the wall and they're trying to affect a free throw or whatever. And it looks like a sold out crowd. Well, I saw a video and the walls, they got some things to work out, because the people sitting in the wall was like seven rows high. After that, it was pretty barren and empty as you went up the wall. But into a dome Instagram, they'll make you think, oh yeah, we was locked in, tapped in. It was literally that little group of people for that 50-row wall that they have there. They got to work some things out. They might have to bend and start letting those tickets go to anybody that wants to buy them.
I haven't got to see any of their new stadium, and you know this. Is it opening tonight? No, tomorrow night.
It opened on what was that, Monday?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of want to make the trip down there to go see that, see their new arena.
Yeah,
it's like $3 billion, right?
Yeah, there are people they are not happy at all with how the Intuit Dome works. Now you get an email stating that you must download a highly intrusive app with a face scan, email, and phone number address required. Another one of those ticketless places. In order to get in, you have to use the Intuit Dome app. In order to access the app, you have to sign up, and they ask you for everything. Yeah, here's bad news for all of you guys. Your information is out there, whether you like it or not.
Right.
I don't know how many times my identity has been stolen, but it's out there.
Do you have a cell phone?
Well,
it's all there for you.
I remember.
Facial recognition is there. What you worried about? You got an iPhone talking about no into a dome. You're not getting my facial recognition.
Someone jacked my identity once and used it to create a cell phone. Now, hear me out. Not a cell phone bill. $275 different cell phones with the same carrier. My mail lady at my old spot in Natomas calls me and says, hey, I have this weird stack of bills from, I won't even say their name. You need to come look at this. Okay, I'm here. I'm going to walk out and see. She hands this to me and she's like, these are all from ... And I look at it and I'm like, okay, thank you. Called, said, hey, it appears you have activated 200 plus phone lines in my name. And she pulls up the name, address, all of this stuff. Here's where we were dealing with geniuses. The billing address they used is mine. They use their real address when signing up.
Oh, man, not the sharpest knife in the
It door. Took exactly 7 seconds to find them in Rio Linda.
Idiots.
But what I couldn't get over was the one question I asked the lady on the phone. This didn't raise any red flags to you?
Had to be an inside job. It was an inside job.
And that's how we end today's show. Doug McDermott is the Sacramento King, and my identity was hacked.
Charismatic.
You got real in it.
Well, y'all know what it is. We've got playoff baseball coming up in about 30 minutes. Stick around for that. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to hear some music. Lots of giveaways jumping off over there. If not, we'll be back tomorrow. Final Kings preseason of the game tomorrow. James Hamm, Kyle Matz, and the Insiders will get you ready for it beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Mets! OMG! It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.